Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest today is Carl Schreck, the enterprise editor at RFERL. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Thanks. Well, this week seems certain to be dominated by the aftermath of yesterday's confrontation in the waters off Crimea, where Russian vessels rammed a tugboat, fired on Ukrainian naval craft, and took 23 Ukrainian sailors captive. At least three were injured. Russia claims it was reacting to illegal and provocative movements by the Ukrainian vessels, but Kyiv denies it did anything wrong. The confrontation has added to tensions surrounding the Sea of Azov and sparked fears that the conflict in eastern Ukraine could flare up and broaden out. Ukraine's parliament is meeting later today to consider imposing martial law, and the UN Security Council is set to discuss the new tension later in New York. Carl, Russia blocked access through the Kerch Strait to the Sea of Azov yesterday, but it apparently is no longer blocked. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has just demanded the immediate release of the 23 sailors. How do you see things playing out? Is this confrontation likely to fade away with time, or is it liable to escalate?
I really dislike going on the record with predictions and things like these, but I do expect this to be ratcheted down a little bit. I would expect the sailors to be handed back to Ukraine sometime in the near future. For the Russian government, of course, they're going to be playing this up as an act of Ukrainian aggression, and that is, you know, useful domestically for Vladimir Putin, but I don't really see much of a propaganda benefit in holding, you know, nearly two dozen sailors captive for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that's a good point. On the Ukrainian side, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion already about Poroshenko's possible motives in calling for martial law. But let's talk a bit about the ramifications in Russia. You mentioned at least a short term, I guess, benefit for Putin in terms of PR. Some observers have been expecting Putin to make a big move to bolster his ratings, which have fallen noticeably in recent months. Could that be what's happening here?
Again, I'm hesitant to speculate a lot on what's going on behind closed doors in the Kremlin. If this was some sort of premeditated plan, but certainly the Russian airwaves will be filled up with a lot of railing against Ukraine. Political talk shows will be talking about this nonstop. They talk about Ukraine nonstop anyway, and yell a lot about Ukraine. I'm not sure if it would give a substantial boost in his numbers, because this is. While it's certainly a very serious incident, the rhetoric that would ensue, in the Russian state-controlled media would not be, a lot different than what's already going on.
Right. I'm wondering whether there's possibly some, in terms of Russia possibly doing something to kind of gain leverage, both with Ukraine, maybe and the West. For one thing, it's one way. During the earlier parts of the conflict in eastern Ukraine, there were attacks and offensives on Mariupol, the Azov Sea port that's Ukrainian and held by the government. Those never sort of came to fruition. In other words, Russia or the separatists who are backed by Russia never took Mariupol. But this stuff going on in the Sea of Azov puts a lot of pressure on Mariupol and on that coast. So, maybe it's a way of kind of putting more pressure on Ukraine and saying, look, we have the means to, or you should believe that we have the means to kind of go further, whether we try to do that or not at this point. And I also think, maybe it's kind of a test of the West, and the timing is interesting in that regard, because for one thing, it's you know, this is coming when Europe is kind of preoccupied with Brexit. And also, it's less than a week before Putin is expected to meet U.S. President Donald Trump on the sidelines of a G20 meeting in Buenos Aires. That's on Friday and Saturday. And they were supposed to meet, sort of have a substantive meeting in France earlier this month, but that that was kind of canceled. They only met briefly. And so this is sort of has been pitched by Russia and I think the U.S. to some degree as a bigger meeting. And I think it's something that Russia's been kind of waiting for. But it seems possible that ahead of this meeting with Trump, that Russia's trying to test his response and the U.S. response and the West's response in general to this kind of new, I guess I would say, aggressive movement around Ukraine. I mean, Carl, do you think this issue is going to dominate the meeting between Putin and Trump in Buenos Aires, or will it be more about other issues? I mean, there's other things to talk about, the war in Syria and Trump's announcement that the United States is going to withdraw from the INF treaty, the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. There was some talk this morning. Sergei Ryabkov, a deputy foreign minister in Russia, was talking about the treaty. He says the U.S. He repeats the Russian allegation that the U.S. is violating it. Of course, the U.S. says Russia has been violating it for several years. But he also said that Russia, while Russia believes that Trump does intend for the U.S. to withdraw, that Russia wants to leave the door open for talks to preserve it. So, you know, what do you think? Is there going to be a mix of these issues in their discussions, or will it be dominated by this new tension in the Sea of Azov?
I don't expect the talks to be dominated by the events happening between Ukraine and Russia right now. As you pointed out, there's a full agenda there, and we still have a little bit of time. And the pace with which crises in Russia, U.S. relations and relations with Moscow and the West. Things come at us very fast, and there still could be some unexpected developments before they actually sit down. I do expect this to be discussed. And you know, I mean, Trump's position has been that he's been tougher on Russia regarding Ukraine than Obama. So I expect coming out of that meeting with regards to Ukraine, there will be some statements saying that, from President Trump that he took Moscow to task for this and to repeat what he's been saying about him taking a harder line on Russia regarding Ukraine. These meetings, at least if we look at what happened in Helsinki, I mean, Trump may press Putin on this, and Putin will say, "Well, you know, we didn't do anything wrong," and that's kind of how these things seem to play out.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think that's a good point. I think Russia's been careful here to say, that this is to claim it's a Ukrainian provocation, and Putin will tell Trump, you know, look, we were just abiding by the maritime law or whatever. We were just doing what we're supposed to do. And with that, kind of the whole Russian kind of, you know, assumption that everyone should understand, or publicly that everyone should understand, that Crimea and is Russian. I agree. I think that's going to be the position they'll take on that. All right. Well, thanks very much, Carl. I guess that's it for today's show. I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia.